Awesome.
This is a bit of a special episode that is dedicated to a team of staff that I am growing attached to, and I wanted to dedicate this topic to them. So, my friends at RDN, this one's for you. Here is the 9th episode of the 4th season in the Traveling Principal Podcast. Hello, folks. My name is Joe Clausey, and I'm thrilled to be your host on the Traveling Principals Podcast, a show synonymous to the feeling we got when first beating Super Mario Brothers on the Nintendo Entertainment Center, and I don't feel old for referencing that at all. So to all my listeners out there, as the Traveling Principal, I'm doing just that. I'm going around to schools and helping in every way that I can. I'm on a contract with an elementary school, and I'm a few months in on this being my first go as a leader of a TK to 5 school. Some obvious differences that stand out immediately: no preps. So you mean to tell me that the geniuses who thought of organizing school systems in the first place way back when said, high schools should be grades 9 through 12, and everyone clapped. Great idea, they shouted. We'll have them teach 5 classes and have 2 preparation periods during the day, they added, and again, everyone cheered. Then we'll do the same for grades 6 to 8, and we'll call it middle school, which bridges from early years to high school. And similarly, they'll teach 5, but maybe get 1 prep. Again, everyone cheers. And finally, we'll have transitional kindergarten to grades 5, and they won't get a break at all. But why, I ask? Why is this? For any educator out there who may only know middle or high school, if you think that this position in elementary is easier or could warrant no preparation periods for these folks during the day, that could not be further from the truth. And what does this ultimately do? It takes away sanity, which is like first and foremost. I see folks having no choice but to take a lunch during their only break just so they can eat. Because mind you, prep periods are independent from lunch at these other levels. So marinate on that one for a second. Imagine a prep time, since elementary education doesn't have any periods, say 30 minutes or 45 minutes, or heck, why not an hour? I mean, super long. But yes, they would be able to take a brain break and not go 100 miles an hour during that time. But yes, they may be able to lesson plan, prep a classroom, which I'm now realizing this task may be synonymous to the old lab technicians prepping a science lab classroom that a teacher will then teach in. Marinate on that one for a second. But also, yes, a prep period or a time block for an elementary education teacher would allow staff to collaborate. Now, why is this important? Well, without collaboration at all, or very minimal at best, we just explained why this could be the case, right? No time, no physical time allotted for it. So it just doesn't happen. And without it, you have assumptions. Without it, you have intent. You also have hesitation. You create your own interpretations about what you see and hear. And when opinions or ideas or best practices are not shared, then we find that we're actually working independently from anyone else that we should be working together with. And what does this mean? Well, it's synonymous with going to an accountant and saying that, you know, can you do my taxes? And they say, sure. And then you thank them and leave and think it's getting done on time. You didn't give them your financial information. You didn't inform them of your deductions, let's say, and your write-offs and your dependents, and yet you still assume that you're good to go and everything is fine and it'll be done on time. Now, I'm going to throw another layer on this, which is now an onion, or as Chef Jean-Pierre on YouTube calls it, onion. I don't know if you guys watch him. He's hilarious. It's hysterically contagious. But super informational. You'll never say it the right way again when you're cooking. But this added layer that eventually surrounds a duration of time where a lack of collaboration between teachers and IAs and SLPs and OTs and school psychologists and behaviorists take place, you end up with several different perceptions of one student's path, even when the intention of each staff member is positive. It still means they're different. It still means they're operating independently, and it's usually at the same time. It still means that a team of 2 to 5 staff members could have 2 to 5 very different strategies being implemented at the same time, all with the intention of helping kids when really counteracting each other's ability to make any progress that they seek at all. Now, what does this mean if this is described at your school, right? Like, this is your situation. What does this mean for you secondary folks out there listening that may have a prep or even 2, but still do not spend your time collaborating with others, right? I don't want to forget about that. It means your independent efforts will only take you so far. Sure, we are logically seeing this, but what it also means is, now that you know it, what can you do about it? If your school calendar is set, which they usually are in the middle of the school year, what could collaboration look like with your team? I know that you have teacher PD days each month, and that's great, but I'm asking, what does weekly or even daily collaboration look like? What if I told you that it only needed to be 15 minutes, especially when you do it every day? What if I told you that you could use your regularly scheduled PD days for teacher time and your meetings, and you could cut 30 minutes out of that block time to plan a calendar for your collaboration, as well as an overview of topics you'll cover, like a curriculum? It could be in a shared file or a doc and is something that is living as it grows throughout the school year. It's modified and changed and added to, but allows for a common place for dialogue and also transparency in some items that we usually save for dialogue conducted in our monthly meetings. Does that make sense? Like, think of it like this. Plan out a curriculum that is measured in months, August, September, etc. Then, topics covered in each month are present, and plans to address said topics are clickable links or written out in some sort of a template that's universal to your school. Now, a teacher and an IA and that team can all see the major focus and topic of conversation when we have no time to have these conversations. And then a simple 15-minute at the start of the day or somewhere in your afternoon time that can maybe be done in teams of 4 teachers, 2 covering for 2 during recess, or perhaps a different configuration of coverage during time when kids are at the outside period. How about rotating a regular assembly or event of, like, where a phys ed art teacher covers in group or in mass? How about booking someone who loves to teach math to kids regularly so you can create space for collaboration? Who in your district actually does something like that? Oh yeah, your superintendent, who is dying to go into schools and loves this. This stuff can be done. You just need to be willing to change what is already in place, looking at it from a lens where, what if nothing stayed and everything was different? Nonetheless, within that 15 minutes then, and with knowing what will be covered and a little about how this will be done, for that day, you could talk about how to reach every kid in that class successfully then. You could discuss strategies that work and don't. You could begin to define what your team looks like by seeing the capabilities and the ease this creates when done persistently. So, here's some do's and don'ts of effective collaboration. A collaborative effort does include compromise. As a 26-year educator, I'm still learning new things in schools every day, man. I will never say, just when you think you saw it all, because that would be impossible. So with this, I've been humbled time and time again when I actually open my mind to what is being suggested, even when I knew and could statistically prove I was great at teaching, yet when I opened my mind, I learned new techniques, and this has defined who I am as a leader as well. I don't go in not wanting to hear. That's what college professors do. TK to 12, we teach. We actively listen. We absorb, we process, and we recreate new information. It's literally the foundation of every goal on every IEP. Here's another one. Do keep a record of what you're doing if possible. This not only is amazing documentation of your efforts, but you don't have to do anywhere near so much after it's done once. This shows history of strategies and offers amazing content for inquiry and resources when meeting the needs of all your learners. Another one, do make it regular if possible. Do make this something that you guys rely on and utilize in every way possible. Do make massive efforts to keep it in place. Don't go in there with one idea. When a staff on a team comes in to dominate, that's not collaboration. That's someone thinking all that is of value is what they have to say. And this isn't helpful. It's actually making it worse. You'd be doing it alone if you were that good. And let's face it, it's a different game today. What we knew and know is a part of what we have to still be learning. All educators have to be like lifelong learners, or that resistance will become a source of a larger perspective for that staff member. Do try to use that time for some out-of-the-box type stuff, like going and seeing another team in play. Go and observe a strategy being used on similar learners. Go and walk the campus while conducting inquiry. Heck, Steve Jobs thought of almost all of his ideas while on a walk. I feel like he wore New Balance, maybe with Velcro. I don't know why I just thought of that, but I thought I'd share it out. But don't go in there to bash and be negative. If something didn't go well, ask why and determine a pivot. If something isn't working on a specific learner, seek support for additional ways, and you gotta keep trying. That last one there is a doozy, let me tell you. Months and months of trying can wear a person thin. And you know what? It should. Especially when you're day in and day out working so hard to maintain the safety while maximizing the academic growth of your students. It should. So to you, I say to work with a team. Collaborate. You're stronger together. You're some of the strongest on a staff that I've seen in one school. And if some of you know that one of you is down or out or struggling, offer to help. Sometimes that's as easy as stopping in and saying hello. Vent sessions are necessary, as that's often what happens when a lack of communication is evident. What's perhaps the worst of all this is once again I find myself becoming embedded into a school community where I mesh perfectly with the course that they are on. And once again I ask that if anyone can possibly find a cure to what I have, I would take that job in a second. Your two office managers are so strong they could be administrators. Any leader would be thrilled to work with a staff like that and on a campus like yours. You absolutely have what it takes to be revolutionary in your school's path, but you're only going to be strongest when you're working with each other, and that begins with how you communicate. I hope this episode got you thinking about what it could be like there. I hope an idea about how to find the time was either sparked or will continue to drive the topic of conversation until you determine how to create regular collaboration. And so I'll leave you with this. In my career, I've worked in all kinds of schools and in several different states and even countries. And I'll be in Hawaii in early April, which is a feather in the old cap, let me tell you. But when I get to these schools, I learn what is in front of me, and this takes time. But then I'm able to paint a clear picture of the current status and look at it from different angles and lenses to find solutions. If you knew you were a part of the staff I'm referring to and thought that all you had to do is what we are all starting to do in this post-pandemic world, which is to communicate with each other again and in a way that is unbiased, that is open-minded, and that is regularly scheduled, you will see the layers peel off your onion so fast, and the ones that will benefit most will be your students. You're individually great over there, but today's students are also relearning how to see and talk and be in this world with us, with parents and guardians that are doing the same as well. So we need to work together to meet that demand, and know that this effort would make you amazing. This I have no doubt. I hope this message resonates with you and begins the notion of redefining regular collaboration as a fixture of the day over there. My name is Joe Clausey, and I'm your host of the Traveling Principal podcast, saying thank you. Thank you for your efforts daily and for making miracles happen daily with the future of our world. Make those efforts collaborative and watch how grateful you become as well.